The following program is a Forbes and Podcast One production.
Hey, I'm Christina Wallace.
And I'm Kate Scott Campbell.
And you're listening to The Limit Does Not Exist,
a podcast for human Venn diagrams.
Coming at you every single Monday.
And hosted by us. The Limit Does Not Exist is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where it's simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Forbes. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Exactly 2 years ago, you embarked on a very special summer, Christina.
I did. And if you go back to episode 6, The Struggle is Real, you can hear all about my decision to name that summer the Summer of Joy.
Today, we're talking about the remarkable effects of that decision and why we're both naming this summer the Summer of Joy Reprise.
We also discuss the magic of discovering and leaning into your superpower and revisit the phase of exploration that is essential for any creative endeavor.
Yes, and in that spirit, we also have some news to share.
You're going to have to just listen to find out, okay?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm so excited. Let's just jump into the episode, shall we?
Let's do it.
Hi, Christina.
Hey, Kate.
I can see you.
I know. I'm in studio.
Yay!
For the second time in the history of this podcast.
Oh my gosh, the second time.
The last time was episode 50.
I have to get used to making eye contact with you. What if we speak?
It's a little distracting.
It is. You also have piercing blue eyes.
Oh, thank you. It can be hazel. Depends on my mood.
Nice.
Time of day.
Nice. Yeah, mine are decidedly hazel, depending on what I'm wearing. Yes, this is only... Have you counted? This is which number that we are in the same place?
I don't think I have counted. We're still in single digits.
Yeah. Easily. Maybe onto the second hand. Yeah. Maybe just one hand.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I remember our very first episode in Austin when we were so crammed together. We were like still getting to know each other and we were like just...
Well, we were sharing a microphone.
We were sharing a microphone.
And we had like the earphone splitter.
Yes. And like paranoid about touching the table to make a sound. And we did have the headphone splitter. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Let's give some shout outs, shall we?
I think it's time.
We want to shout out... to Ireland.
We have a lot of listeners in Ireland, in Dublin.
Yes, we have discovered this recently and we see you guys. We are so excited that you're listening.
I mean, is it because we're both redheads and I'm a Wallace and you're a Campbell?
Yes, please. I mean, Campbell is technically Scottish.
Well, so is Wallace, but I feel like there could be connections. I'm just saying.
I am Irish. Part of me is Irish.
Me too.
We would love to know, 7% of our listeners who are in Dublin, why do you like us? Please tell us.
Well, okay, also, we want to give you a shout out because the home to vote just movement a couple of weeks ago where so many of you flew home from around the world in order to go home and repeal the Eighth Amendment, which bans abortion. It was absolutely moving to watch. It was moving to follow on Twitter. It was a very engaging Twitter hashtag for a while. I encourage you when you're feeling a little depressed to go and just check that out, the home to vote hashtag. It'll give you good feelings.
Yeah, you know, I was so impressed by that, continue to be. It's inspiring for us all, especially with so many elections happening and popping up. I know mine's in a week, I think. It's very inspiring. You know, and I was asking my mom, actually, I was like telling her about our Irish listeners. And I was like, why do you think? Do you see a correlation, mother? You know, and she was really just started talking about the history of the country of Ireland and all the sort of incredible movements and things that have happened there. And I'd like to think in some way that there is an appreciation for the spirit of our show, which is chart your own course, you know, and figure out what makes you you. But anyway, that's just one random theory. We'd love to hear it from you guys.
So we see you, Irish listeners, and we thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for, you know, fighting the good fight with Home to Vote and
absolutely
all the other stuff. Yes.
We also have one of our former guests, Risa Puno, doing a really cool artist residency at the Kohler Art Center in Wisconsin. I've been following her on Instagram since she headed out there a couple weeks ago, and it's absolutely fascinating. If you haven't been watching her, do it now. She is doing metalwork and like foundry work. I don't actually know how to turn that into a verb, where she's using cast iron and wax molds and like, resin bonded sand. It's absolutely fascinating. And she takes pictures and video of the math, the equations, the physics that are going into making these sculptures and this installation art. It's really exciting. There's some fire involved. She had to get a license to drive a forklift. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's riveting. So if you aren't following Risa Puno on Instagram, check it out and go check out her episode. It's good times.
Yes. Episode number 9, The Art of Play.
Yes.
And truly Risa talks about how much play there is in her work. It's really incredible. There also are a lot of power tools and like really, really badass pieces of equipment. In fact, I think that she talked with us from her studio.
I think so.
In Brooklyn, I want to say. That is also an episode where you can hear Christina Wallace singing a cappella.
With Risa. Yeah.
Very, very much a treat. Very much a treat. I think that was also the episode where it was 7 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
And it was it made the morning even better to hear you guys harmonizing.
Well, it was fun. So last night we were in your house listening to our very first episode as we were prepping for this, episode 101. And, we recorded that at like 7 in the morning in Austin in like the fourth day of South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And our morning voices are a little challenging.
So intense.
And like at one point, I think my voice breaks like a prepubescent boy.
It does. And I am just embedded in my vocal fry in such a real way. I think I had about 4.5 hours of sleep, as evidenced by that gold wristwatch tattoo. There is a special brand of a terror knowing that is, for most of you listening, your entry point to our show.
That's our most listened to episode by far, because you discover a podcast,
number one.
You check out number one, and thanks for sticking with us.
We might want to do a trailer that like instructs people to go to episode 2 or 3. But also, it's so much fun. I love that episode so much because there's just so much newness and unknown there.
Oh my goodness. We were making it up as we went.
We were. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we talk about that, Christina, you have some news.
I do. So Chaz and I got engaged.
Love snaps happening right here.
For longtime listeners, you may recall when this show started, I was very single.
Yes, you were.
I believe I even hit up one of our guests to have his wife, who's a matchmaker, maybe make me a match.
Oh my gosh,
Frank Burbrink.
Yes, Frank Burbrink.
Snakes on a Podcast.
Yes, episode number 5, which is such a fun episode.
very, very single at the beginning of this this endeavor. And if you remember, episode 6, The Struggle is Real, we were talking about our summers. We were naming our summers, and that was when I first had decided that it was going to be my summer of joy.
Right.
And that episode was literally recorded a week before our first date.
Really?
Yes. So I had...
Was your date planned when we recorded the episode?
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
I think so.
Wow.
But I had made a choice. I'd been coming out of a really tough, 6 months. I had a number of deaths in my family. I had had just some frustration on the professional side. I was really kind of unhappy. Mm-hmm. And my instinct had always been, well, just do more. pick up more things. Try a master's in computer science. Go start a podcast. Like, do more things so that you can feel accomplished, and that will make you feel happy or worthy or whatever those things were.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't really working. I was still unhappy and also stressed out and had no time to breathe. And so I decided to do the opposite of my instincts and to use the Marie Kondo book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, but apply it instead of to my apartment, apply it to my calendar. And I made that choice of going after the Summer of Joy and only doing the things that brought me joy. And a direct result of that was my first date with Chaz and my, you know, decision to go to Bionic and kind of a number of really big changes that summer. And it worked out, y'all.
I'm just amazed at the, like, out of the gate date with Chaz.
Well, yeah.
But I also would like to think that, you know, the way that you showed up to meet Chaz, you know, like, there was so much going on inside of you, and you had made this really powerful decision to just be in this very out of comfort zone space
and
see what happened.
I was specifically making the affirmative choice of, like, if this is great, I'm going to go for it. And if it's not great, I'm going to cut it off.
Right?
And just, like, the point of, like, get it to yes or no faster, right? Just get to a decision and stop living in these limbos of, like, well, it's not amazing, but it's not terrible.
How do you think you were able to? Because I think part of that a lot of people experience is, like, not knowing if it's great or if it's that, by that
point. I feel like, you know, right? You've got a spidey sense. I think for many of us, it's certainly true for me, there's always the notion of, like, well, it's not great, but I could see how it could be better.
Oh my God.
So maybe if
AKA
I just,
my 20s.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Jobs, relationships, friendships, apartments, all
of the above.
All of the above. Where you're like, I see if I put in enough work, I could fix it.
Yes.
Right?
I could
figure out how to make it what I want it to be rather than seeing it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I think I just made the decision that summer of, like, I'm going to actually just see things for what they are. And if what they are isn't what works for me, like, no judgment on them. I'm just going to not put in more work to fix that.
Yes.
I'm going to look for the things that actually fit. And I think it is no coincidence that, like, my first date with Chaz and meeting David Kidder, the CEO of Bionic, happened within weeks of each other.
Wow.
And, like, both of them just fundamentally, like, took my life on a very different course over the last 2 years. So I think, I mean, if you want a perfect example of why my partnership with Chaz just works so well.
Yes, please.
Other than listening to the episode where we had him on, Dating a Human Venn Diagram.
Oh my gosh. I had a delightful time. Chaz, if you're listening, and I hope you are, future husband. I had a delightful time on that episode.
we decided to get married months ago, I guess, at this point, after having talked about this for, like, 6 months, right? We were actively like, is this something we want? How do we go forward? What are the things that we need to discuss or work through or, you know, talk about to feel like we're in a good place to make this decision? And this particular Saturday morning, we had sat down to work through some financial planning. And we spent 3 hours at the kitchen table. He had made some breakfast, as he always does. And then we started working through. I found a worksheet online, a 4-stage worksheet.
Oh my gosh, I need this worksheet.
I'll send it to you. that starts with things like your debt and your credit scores and, like, how much you have. And then it leads you into questions of, like, what are your earliest memories of money and what do you value? Like, what are you willing to splurge on? What do you just want the good enough, right? The
basics. Did you also have mimosas while you were doing this? I feel like that might have helped.
No, totally sober. Just a little bit of coffee.
I'm so impressed.
I know. And LaCroix. There was some seltzer.
Oh, great. Lovely.
And we were walking through this and kind of putting in the work of defining, like, what kind of life do we want? What are the choices and the trade-offs that we want to make when it comes to money? And, you know, we started building this financial model that has, like, a month-by-month cash flow for the first 3 years and then an annual estimate for another, like, 7 years after that. So to give us a sense of, like, based on what we say we want, do we have the resources to get there?
Right.
And, like, how much discipline or what kind of trade-offs will we have to make in order to go that direction? Right? It's not like, this is exactly what we're going to budget for the next 10 years. It was just like, do we have an understanding of what it will take to build the life that we think we want to have? And at the end of this, he just turns to me and says, so shall we pick a date?
Oh my gosh.
And I said, well, I've been holding these 2 weekends in October. Do either of them work for you? And I think, you know,
you been holding them for a potential wedding?
Yeah. Well, because it was on the horizon. We'd been talking about it and my schedule fills up. There are many things happening in Q4. And so I wanted to hold a couple of dates that worked for me.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect, I think, for me. I told this story to a couple of my mentees who are, like, 24 and they were absolutely aghast. They're like, that is the least romantic thing I've ever heard. One of them even cried a tear. She's like, I just wanted a niece. and a ring. And I was like, that's not what I want, though.
Let's define romance first and foremost. That is a very subjective word.
True. But I was like, what's romantic for me is the partnership and the work, right? And the commitment to both showing up and deciding that, like, we're proactively choosing this partnership and this life and the work that's going to be required to get there. And that's the most romantic thing of all to me. Like, it's not that hard to get on a knee and, like, buy a couple of flowers.
No.
I think it's a lot harder to say, like, we're in this together and we're going to show up and do the work every day.
Well, I think also something just occurred to me, which is that there is something that feels truly romantic to me about that commitment. You guys are really doing this real commitment. And I don't mean that just in the sense of, you know, the commitment of marriage. I mean, in the active commitment of talking about your future, building that future. What does that look like? It just occurred to me that that really feels deeply romantic to me. And I think that there is something so powerful about that coming from, you know, my point of view as someone who has dated a lot of people, has tried a lot of things in my life. When you really look at someone and look at a thing and go, oh, there's really something here, and I'm going to do the work for that.
Yeah.
Like, romance in action.
I think in particular as two human Venn diagrams who, you know, our lives could take a lot of zigzags.
Exactly.
Right? We have a lot of different places we could go. Building a life with another human Venn diagram requires, I think, a lot more communication around, like, how are we going to make those zigs and zags together?
Yeah.
With the acknowledgement that there will be some sacrifices or trade-offs, or we're going to prioritize your zig and not mine at this, right, at this moment. Because it's not just, you know, you have this very predictable life and we've chosen this town and we're going to buy this house and, like, I can see the next 10 years clearly. Like, part of this decision started from, like, what's your vision of your career?
Yeah.
Where does that geographically land you and, and us? And like, are we both looking at the future in a similar way, knowing that we have so many things in our lives and so many things that we need and want to be happy?
Yeah.
I think it just requires more proactive planning and conversation than, you know, a straightforward kind of career path or a future. And so, so there you go, guys. Happy endings or something.
Another book title that you could really use at some point. Happy endings or something.
I mean, it's crazy. So you have some news too. You've like just wrapped up a big chunk of work.
Yes, I have I just closed my run in the Sunday Company at the Groundlings, which is very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. You know, it really closed a year of writing and performing, and 6 solid months of doing a brand new show every week. So writing and performing in a brand new show every week. I had my first weekend like 2 weeks ago in a year, and it was
Did you just like not leave your couch?
I mean, there was a lot of that. That when I did
Rosie and Shadow just like climbed on top of you.
Oh my gosh, yes. Just the best. Not weighing enough to be true.
Right,
gravity blankets, but like there was an effect all the same.
Yeah.
You know, Ross and I walked to get coffee. This is a thing that people do on their weekends. And then we looked across the street and I was reminded that there is a farmer's market in our neighborhood.
Oh my goodness.
And we got flowers and apples and I was just having the most weekend. I was weekending the F out of my weekend, as
I've
said.
Well done.
Thank you so much. You know, it was really, really, it was really valuable. I was so struck by, and this is really along the theme of your Summer of Joy, giving yourself the space that you needed. I had been feeling that very deeply, really for a couple of months, you know, and I feel like oftentimes in life, it's like, if we close something, there seems to be a tendency to say like, oh, I'm so glad I'm done with that. And, you know, I think that there's a total both and at play. Like, I feel so grateful to have had this year really of a sprint. I mean, it was so growth giving in so many ways that I'm still honestly discovering. And I think we'll continue to. And so at once I feel so grateful and so grateful for being at this point. You know, it really is this like win-win situation. That's how I've been explaining it to the people who were close to me in my life. And, you know, I was really struck by Cesar Kuriyama's episode, mm-hmm. number 95, 1 Second Every Day, mm-hmm. which we had very recently, mm-hmm. in which he said, you know, I knew that I wanted to figure out what I was going to do next, but I knew that I didn't have the space to do it.
Yeah.
So I was just going to give myself the space to mm-hmm. be able to do the thinking, the tinkering, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it sounds so silly, Christina, but that is like the hardest thing. You know,
it really
like
is.
I know you get this. Mm-hmm. Like, just to give myself the permission to futz around my house for a day, my soul has been really, like you said, we always know, right? Yeah. Like, my soul has been powering me to do that, and it's been so wonderful. Like, I finally watched the Great British Baking Show. I mean, you know, I'm still,
which is a delight,
which is a total delight.
It also makes me realize how much I don't know about baking.
Oh my gosh,
I can do fourths.
I know. And I literally, like, while I was watching it, I was like, I need to go. I ran to Trader Joe's and got some lemon tarts just to eat with my watching experience. I was like, this is even more of a delight. But, you know, I'm still, like, from the outset, I'm mm-hmm. still working, and there's lots of other things always, right? But my version of that is what feels really right for me. And my version of that is just having some extra space right yeah. now and being so grateful for the blank canvas, which... is not probably always going to be blank, and that's
right.
okay.
Right.
But grateful for like the blank corner of the canvas. Mm-hmm. And I think having come from such a time of so many deliverables and such mm-hmm. an intense time of production,
yes.
it makes me even more grateful
yeah.
for the choice to open up some space mm-hmm. and to take the pressure off of myself for a second to figure out what the next move is. Because what I've learned is that when we are the resource in our work, and I know mm-hmm. we talked about this before, mm-hmm. we need those times of well filling.
Yes.
Otherwise, the well is empty.
It reminds me of our 1 year anniversary episode, Explore, Experiment, Execute.
Yes.
Episode 35, where we talked about like there are these different modes of doing work, right?
Right, right.
And that, you know, you and I have both been in this period of like execute, right? Mm-hmm. You're in it, you know mm-hmm. what you're doing. Every week, you're putting up a new show.
Yes.
I'm finishing up a manuscript for a book with David Kidder, my CEO.
Right.
And it's just like, okay, finish line, go.
Yeah.
And it can be easy when you reach that finish line to look around and say, ah, I have space. Let's find another thing to execute on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of us are feeling this desire of right now to say, no, I'm going to protect that space.
Yeah.
And instead, I'm going to shift to explore mode,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And the dabble and the futzing and mm-hmm. the
exactly.
I don't know what
tinkering.
This is. The tinkering, right? I don't know what this is.
Staring at the
see.
Wall. Yeah.
And it's a very different way of being and working and creating. Mm. And you kind of have to do that mm-hmm. to discover what the next thing is you want to go execute on.
Yes.
And if you just stay in execution mode, you're never going to kind of open that aperture to see mm-hmm. where else might I mm-hmm. want to go, what else might I want to learn
yeah.
or, you know, dabble in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're both kind of looking at a summer and saying, we've been executing for a while.
Yes.
Let's go explore
yeah.
this summer.
Totally. And I had to kind of really look at myself truthfully and admit that I am someone who gets a lot of value out of execution
mm-hmm.
and to say, you are valuable, as valuable, and you're adding to your own personal value during these times of exploring and
yeah.
experimenting in mm-hmm. order to execute.
Yeah.
One of the gifts of doing this show has been the discovery of the power of seasons.
Yeah.
And when we really just embrace, oh, this is the season, and also I'm choosing that this is what the season is going to mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it chooses us. Sometimes we look at our life and go, oh, a lot of chapters are kind of closing or pressing pause right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a gift. That's
yeah.
not something to run from. That's something to revel in.
Exactly.
So before we continue this delightful conversation, Christina.
Aww, it is a delight.
We want to give a shout out to ZipRecruiter.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Forbes. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and they invite them to apply to your job.
Uh-huh. And then as applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Forbes. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Forbes. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to PodcastOne.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to PodcastOne.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at PodcastOne.com/mysurvey. Or click on the survey banner on PodcastOne.com.
The Limit Does Not Exist is brought to you by our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. It lets you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Forbes.
So one of the things that I've been getting to do more of right now, being in this exploration period, is read. It's no secret that we love reading on the show based on...
Not a secret.
Our number one lightning round question, hashtag book stack. And the book that I mentioned in our last lightning round that I've been reading is called You Are a Dream by Guillaume Wolfe, who's a professor at the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, where you guys, if you listened to our last episode, episode 100, we discovered how many amazing creative talents
it's
come
like
out of
4 out of 5 visual strategists
at JPL. Yeah, exactly. All came from Art Center. So I've been loving reading this book. It's sort of all about the creative process. And one of the things that I was recently reading is this idea of what is your superpower. And I mentioned this to you last night because I'm so struck by the idea that your superpower is likely a thing that comes so easily to you that you may not even notice what it is. But everyone else is looking at you going, oh my gosh,
how do you do that?
Yes, exactly. How does she do it? And you're like, do what?
Right.
This thing that is easy?
Yeah.
And I think when we are able to have people mirror that for us, it's so helpful, right? And so this reminded you of something that you had read.
So literally just a few days ago in HBR, Whitney Johnson wrote an article that says why talented people don't use their strengths.
Oh my gosh.
And it was about how, you know, experts have long said, you know, you should play to your strengths. She was saying, based on her observations, that's easier said than done, not because it's hard necessarily to identify what we're good at, but it's because we undervalue what we do inherently well.
Right.
And that, you know, you think about superpowers, which she uses that term, as things that we do effortlessly, almost reflexively, right? Like breathing. And when someone identifies that, like a boss, and says, hey, I want you to do more of that, often, you know, overachievers like us, the instinct is like, well, that's not hard. Give me a challenge.
Yes.
Right? Like, I want a growth challenge. Give me a stretch project, right? And it feels too easy, and so it must not be valuable. And instead, you know, be able to not just identify, but actually acknowledge how your superpowers are valuable and, you know, revel in the fact that it's not that hard for you to do, right?
Yes.
Give yourself a little space to not always be struggling.
Yes.
And, you know, find that value for yourself and saying like, huh, I am good at that. Awesome. Let's do more of that, which is a really I think, important thing and also a challenging thing mm-hmm. for people who are always kind of like, I want to grow and stretch.
Right.
And it reminds me of, I think I wrote about this for Forbes, that period after my startup failed and I was trying to figure out what to do next. And I just couldn't see for myself what I was good at or what I should be doing or where I would fit in the world. And so instead of, you know, wandering around and writing journal entries and trying to soul search, I just got out of the apartment and took people to coffee and asked them to tell me what my superpower was.
Yes.
Right? I was like, what do you come to me for? What am I better at than my peers? Because I can't see it right now. And I think that's certainly one way, if you don't know your superpower, to have people reflect it back to you.
Yeah.
And it probably what they say back to you is going to resonate really clearly. You're like, oh yeah, I do that really well. Huh.
Yeah.
That's valuable.
Well, totally. I mean, I'm so struck today at how much of, you know, what we talk about and think about on our show really involves this just like shift in framing, the shift in thinking, right? To be able to say like it is not a sign of weakness to maximize and use something that I'm sort of naturally inclined to do. Mm-hmm. Like there is such a tendency to shine the light on the thing that feels like more of a stretch.
Right.
And I think that there's so much value in that. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you know, stretching in those ways can also help round out what your natural superpowers are.
Sure.
That's great. And, you know, those things that we are really good at are also just these gifts that we have to give the world.
Well, it's like I remember being in a job right out of business school where, you know, there was like this set of capabilities that, you know, you needed to check the box across all these things. And in my first 6 months, I had checked the box very clearly on kind of client communications, public speaking, presentation skills. Mm-hmm. And they're like, great, you don't have to do that. We're going to make you learn all these other things for the next like 5 years. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm happy to learn all those other things, but like, I'm really good at this one thing right here.
Yeah.
And I remember that one of the professional development coaches they brought in specifically pulled me aside and said, look, you are exceptional at this. You need to find a job that lets you do that instead of spending the next however many years rounding out, right? And there's absolutely value in being a T-shaped person where you have that kind of breadth of skill at a minimum level across many different fields. But you also have that depth, that specialization or that ability to really kind of home in on those one or two things that you have as a superpower. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that he made that explicit, that he gave me that permission to say, yeah, it'd be great to learn all these other things. But if this is what I'm great at, let's find a chance to do more of that.
I think, why does it feel scary to be told our superpower sometimes or to embrace our superpower? I mean, when you look at the superhero movie narrative, right?
Yeah.
Most superheroes are at first terrified of their own power, you know? And there's something that's interesting about that. I mean, I remember the first time a director, when I was a kid, I was like 12, talked to me about one of my superpowers. I went into the bathroom and cried. I mean,
what,
I just,
what was
like,
the superpower? Tell me.
I mean, it was just this aspect I have as a performer where I remember said to me, you know, he was like, what do you love doing? And I lied for some reason. And I was like, well, I, you know, really see myself doing this. And he's like, I really think this is something that you, you know, you just have this natural gift at. And I went into the bathroom and cried. And I was talking actually about this with a teacher I had in grad school recently. And I was like, I don't know why I cried. And he said, he saw you because he saw you. And I think that's really rare. And sometimes it's scary because sometimes I think the thing that's our superpower is something that there might be a sense of vulnerability around too. Or sometimes it's just, there's also, I think, just a cathartic experience in owning something that you're good at. I don't really know. I think it's like a fascinating line of questioning, and I'd love to hear other people's reactions to being told their superpower.
So what do you think your superpower is, Kate?
I have one of them. No idea.
What? That can't possibly be true.
I don't know. I mean, no, it can't possibly be true. See, like, I get so, like...
You're like visibly uncomfortable right now.
I know. I'm sweating. I am sweating. I'm like holding my arms close to my sides so I don't reveal the pit stains to Christina. I mean, I don't know that I can articulate. I think I have a sense of it, and I think that people have articulated, you know, my superpower in different ways, but I don't think that I've really asked lately what my superpower is.
I mean, I feel like you've got a bit of a project for your summer, Kate, to go and take everyone you know out to coffee and ask them, what's my superpower?
Oh my gosh, should I start right now? Christina, should I ask you what you think my superpower is?
Well, I mean, you very well could. The thing is, Kate, you have this ability, and you know, we've done 101 episodes, and of them, probably 90 of them have been interviews, right? So we've had some CNC episodes, but most of them have been interview-based. And you have this ability to kind of have a conversation with someone in a field you know literally nothing about, and to not only just have a really interesting conversation with them, but to ask the questions that kind of uncover the next layer of meaning or of insight in many ways for these people who are interviewed all the time. And they say, no one's ever asked me that question, right? Like, or I've never had to think of it that way. And in doing so, you know, I think many times you're asking the question that people who know a little bit about the field would feel embarrassed to ask because they should know that. Mm-hmm. So it's not the dumb question, so to say, but it's the question that everyone's like, well, obviously, of course, A goes to C. And you're like, but is there a B?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I feel like that ability to not just have a conversation, but to follow the logic and to dig under some of the unstated assumptions or skips in completely unrelated fields that don't scare you at all is an incredible gift.
Thank you so much, Christina.
You're welcome.
I do have to say that I am obsessed with people's stories. I mean, I'm obsessed with finding it out and discovering more about what drives
people.
Well,
and I think that's part of this, right? Because you're looking at these stories, not just from I'm interested in you know, what you have to say as a listener, which you are.
Yeah.
But you have your storyteller, your writer, your producer hat on where you're like, walk me through that arc because there's a step you're skipping over. And if I were writing this movie or whatever this is, like, you're missing a piece of the motivation, and I want to learn more about that. And I think that particular lens gives you that ability to be an incredible storyteller and, you know, just an incredible communicator. And I think it's served you very well in this format and obviously in other formats as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really, now that you are saying this to me, I can look at moments in my life where, for example, one time I was at this dinner party and my friend Felina turned to me and she goes, that, how did you just do that? And I was like, what? What? Do what? She's like, someone asked you about yourself and you just like seamlessly threw the focus back onto them. And I was like, well, you know, I'd rather hear about their story. Yeah, yeah. That's so interesting.
I mean, you also are a master of the segue. So... Don't let anyone tell you that
is
not a superpower.
The highest compliment that I've ever received. Christina, I know that you have talked with a lot of people about what your superpowers are. I really want to mirror back a superpower of yours that I am so inspired by. And the word that comes to mind is connector.
Ooh.
That you not only, and what I mean by that is you are a connector of people. Mm. You are a connector of ideas. Mm-hmm. You're a connector of concepts in the sense that you can look at somebody and go, I know exactly who you should talk to and exactly who you should meet. And you do it with such a generosity and joy that I feel like you just being around you is to have your world expanded.
Aww.
It's really, really exciting.
Thank you.
And I see you also do that with ideas. I mean, you are able to, in our conversation, I think I might have touched on this a little bit in episode 38 with Brian Cooper Writer, Improvising by Design, where we talked about, are you a pirate, a robot, or a ninja? Remember we were talking about that?
Yes, I remember that.
But you just have this ability to fuse concepts that would otherwise seem unrelated or take something and tie it to a bigger whole. You do that with people and you do that with thoughts. And it's just a really beautiful holistic quality that you have.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
Well, it's true.
Oh my goodness. We have much more to talk about in this episode.
We do.
But before we do, we want to give a shout out to one of our fantastic sponsors.
Support for The Limit Does Not Exist comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, the mortgage company that decided to ask why. Why can't clients get approved in minutes rather than weeks? Why can't they make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? And why can't there be a client-focused technological mortgage revolution? Quicken Loans answered all these questions and more with Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan.
Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Forbes. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
You're listening to The Limit Does Not Exist with Christina Wallace and Kate Scott Campbell.
So speaking of looking for space and time for exploration
yes.
versus execution, we have some news
that
we want to share. So we are taking a break after this episode of The Limit Does Not Exist. Longtime listeners might recall season one was 12 episodes long. It turns out season two became 89 episodes.
Really great programming there.
And after 2 years of weekly shows, we need a bit of a breather, guys.
Yeah.
we want to just take a step back and find kind of new ways to evolve this thing that we love and that we believe in and this community that's come around it. So what does this mean for you, dear listeners? Well, great question. First, it is the perfect time for you to catch up on all 101 episodes or any fraction that you might have missed. If you started in episode one and then skipped to like 82, understandable.
Yeah.
But go back and take a listen. There's a lot of great stuff in there. And if you don't know where to get your fix, all of our episodes, all of our show notes, they're at humanvenndiagram.com.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can also follow both of us on social media. I'm at CM Walla on Instagram and Twitter. Kate is at Campbell Kate on both platforms. We will probably put a pause on our Admiral Hopper Twitter for a while. We'll still keep an eye on it. We're just not going to be tweeting that often. So, so find us on the socials while we take a breather. And you know, we're gonna come back in. I don't know, at some point,
yeah.
with something different. And it's going to be awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what's so incredible, Christina, is that, you know, The Limit Does Not Exist really started as an experiment.
It totally did.
So this is the experiment part of that execute, explore, experiment.
Yeah.
Explore, experiment, execute.
I think that's the order. Yeah.
That makes sense based on everything that we've been talking about. But I mean, it really did. And I know that we were, you know, razzing ourselves about episode one earlier. But I love that episode so much because there is such a purity of experimentation.
Yes.
I mean, recently, Christina, I was cleaning out my desk. You hopefully didn't see that last night, but you know, it's like the worst before it gets better thing.
Yes.
There's just piles everywhere. Of things.
Yep.
But in those piles, I found our original notes for that first episode.
Really?
Which we hand
from the Driscoll?
Wrote. Yes. On like a little
the bar pad.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, it wasn't a cocktail napkin, but the next closest thing,
this little
notepad. from the Driscoll Hotel in Austin. And it was just so great to see because, you know, it's this kind of thing where if we had, you know, kind of treated The Limit Does Not Exist at first as trying to find this perfect, right? As we know, that word is pretty useless in creative endeavors for the most part.
Yeah.
But trying to find the shiny finished product from the get-go. I don't think we would have had as much fun or had the evolution that we can now look back and go, oh my gosh, this experiment showed us that there is really something here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so exciting. And what that means is we have some really exciting exploration to do again.
Exactly. I think to your point, I mean, everyone who works in tech knows that if you're not embarrassed by the first version of what you put out, that you waited too late to put it out.
Oh,
right?
I love that.
Yeah, that's a very common phrase.
Very comforting.
Like, just get it out there. And you know you're going to like blush at it later when you're like, oh my God, did I really put that out there? And, you know, I felt that a little bit listening to episode one last night. I think our tagline was for people who don't fit in boxes.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't come up with human Venn diagram
yet. We had not.
And, you know, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that's the first episode everyone listens to. But there's something to you, you know, to your point that was so joyous and kind of honest about it. And, mm-hmm. you know, we made a ton of assumptions from the very beginning, right? Mm-hmm. We did, let's do an hour-long show. Let's do an interview-based show that we're going to sprinkle in some CNC episodes along the way, right?
Right.
And we kind of set some parameters for what this experiment would look like. And we have executed on that for 101 episodes.
Yeah.
And I think part of what we are looking to do with the show is to go back and re-examine some of those assumptions.
Yes.
Does it have to be an hour? Does it have to be a new guest every week? Does it have to be like this interview-based format? Or are there other kind of parameters that we can put in place that would kind of take it to the next level in terms of our creativity? So I think there's so much about, you know, these 2 years that have been incredible to experiment with. And one of my favorite parts about the whole thing was having you along for the ride, right? We joked about this in the last episode that when invited to JPL, always bring a friend. And I feel like that's true in any experiment, right?
Yes.
When Forbes reached out and said, you know, Christina, do you want to do a podcast? I said, yes, but can I bring a friend, right? Can we make this Christina and Kate?
Yeah.
And I think so much of this has succeeded based on having a partner in this whole thing. I think that's the crux of why we've made it 2+ years. So, let's go run more experiments.
Totally. I think that, you know, a big question that we've kind of taken down in a lot of ways on our show is, you know, what is it that I want to do? Mm-hmm. What is it that I want? Who am I? What I mean by taking it down is taking down that question in the traditional sense, which to me for many years looked like sitting around and thinking.
Exactly.
Just sitting around and thinking about some mysterious end product and trying to visualize or craft what that would be without being on the road that would reveal what that is, right? And so what's so powerful about the idea of experimenting is there's a looseness to it and there's a joy to it. And like you said, it's even better when you bring along a friend, right?
Totally.
And you grow together.
And have someone to mesh with, right? And to bounce ideas off of. You can only have so much inspiration between you, a table, and a wall, right?
Oh my gosh. And 1,000%.
To have a partner with you, like, it just sparks so many more, you know, opportunities and diagonals than you would ever come up with on your own.
No, and that has been one of the greatest discoveries of doing this with you, is to just discover how lucky I feel at how great our partnership is. It's very, very exciting. Something else that, you know, will really help us and that I would love to hear from you guys listening during this time of exploration is feedback.
Absolutely.
Feel free, please send us an email at humanvenndiagram.com. There's a little contact form there. Tweet at us. We will definitely go into Admiral Hopper periodically if we're not actively posting and see messages and mentions and mentions that you've sent to us, because we'd love to hear from you. What do you love? What do you want to see more of? Are conversations raised in your mind? It would be really, really fun for us to hear.
And what decisions, actions, projects have you taken up because of this?
Yes.
We would love to hear what kind of impact this has had.
But
I can't help but look back on this whole experiment and think about what are some of the things that we put in place to make it even possible to do this as a weekly show, right?
Oh my
we
gosh.
Live on opposite coasts.
Yes.
We are very busy people with lots of other things in our lives.
Yeah.
And we've both gone through a ton of changes in those 2 years. And realizing that some of the design choices, like this is a podcast, not a web series, right? So we don't have to be in the same geographic location.
Right.
We have been able to record through Skype with a tiny little, you know, podcast microphone. So I've been able to take it with me on all of my business trips.
Oh
and
my gosh.
We were just thinking back of like literally all the places that we have recorded from.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
we need to do a roll call here.
What I think Milwaukee, Traverse City, St. Louis, Turks and Caicos.
I totally forgot about Turks
and Caicos. Yeah, that was Mr. Nanji's episode.
Oh my gosh.
Vancouver from Ted, Providence, our live show at Brown.
Yes.
I've called in from business trips, Washington, D.C., and in Atlanta and Miami, San Antonio, where I was giving a talk,
oh my gosh.
Nashville, where my family lives. You've called in from San Francisco.
Yes.
I've called in from San Francisco.
Yes, yes.
Chicago, obviously Austin.
Yes.
And, you know, you've called in from various locations around LA,
oh
which
my
are
gosh.
Effectively different cities.
Yes, based on LA geography and the LA mindset. Definitely Los Feliz, Beverly Hills, Century City, our KPCC live show.
Yep.
These are all very different geographical locations.
But because of this, because of that flexibility, we've been able to keep this going in a way that I think other, you know, projects would have been really hard to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So part of, as we think about great experiments, are like, what are the design choices you can put in to make it possible to keep running it, right? And to keep iterating on it. And, you know, I'm a big fan of podcasts for making this possible, that we could have this conversation on a weekly basis.
Oh my gosh, me too. It really is nothing short of miraculous. And I think, you know, the takeaway for this sort of experimental mentality is, like you said, Christina, that you can set controls and parameters, and then you totally have the freedom to re-examine, reshape, redesign, rebuild.
Exactly.
And that's so exciting. And the only way to get the information you need to do those things is to just do something.
Exactly.
And, you know, enjoy the ride.
So, you know, I'm declaring this the Summer of Joy reprise.
I am too. I'm just going to get on that boat with you. Apparently it's a boat. And we're
it
in
is.
An ocean somewhere.
So,
oh my gosh.
With that in mind, Kate, I think it might be time for our last lightning round, at least for now.
Lightning round. I'm going to just lean into that for now.
I like it. I mean, the thing I love about the lightning round, we just created this in episode 2.
And we really mistitled it.
We did. That's true. The branding has not been on point. I think we've done it every episode since.
I think we've done it
every
episode.
So this makes our 100th lightning round.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That's really incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that we've just been very loose with our definition of the word lightning.
Lightning. Yep.
Yeah.
So here we go. First question, Kate. What are you reading or listening to right now?
Oh my gosh. I am continuing to read the book that I mentioned by Guillaume Wolfe, You Are a Dream. That's been wonderful. And Christina, for the first time in a year, I have started to read fiction again. Just like a great, cozy novel.
What are you reading?
This particular novel is called The Little Paris Bookshop. It's by Nina George. And it's really this story of this bookshop owner who runs this bookshop that is also, speaking of boats, like a little barge in the Seine in Paris. And it's just like delicious and delightful and an ode to books and only the kind of thing I would ever read if I had decided that I would give myself space to read it.
Oh, that's awesome. I will add that to my
really
summer
fun.
Reading list.
Yes, it's a perfect summer read. It's a great little like late night before you fall asleep read. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
Christina, what are you reading right now?
So I am thrilled that this is my last lightning round book answer. It's called No One Tells You This. It's a memoir by my dear friend, Glynis McNichol. It doesn't come out till July 10th, so I got an early access to it. But pre-order it on Amazon. This is an incredible memoir of her 40th year, sort of spans the 1 year where she turned 40 and was basically looking ahead, you know, unmarried, no kids, has, you know, family responsibilities with her mom and her sister, and just was sort of looking at this future that doesn't look like what all of the other stories tell us women's adulthood looks like.
Oh, wow.
And decided that she was going to write a version of her life that worked for her.
I love that.
And, you know, that this year takes her to a dude ranch in Wyoming. It takes her up to Canada, where she's from, and she's, you know, with her sister and dealing with her mom and some illness there. Mm. And just she is this boldlessly rewriting what stories can look like for women who don't choose marriage and children. It is a beautiful memoir. You will laugh, you will cry, you will read it in one sitting, and you should add it to your book list, July 10th.
Oh my gosh, I remember meeting Glynis in Austin.
That's right.
Right before we recorded our first episode. I cannot wait to check it out.
It's so good.
Sounds fantastic.
Kate, question two. What's the last thing that made you cry tears of joy?
Well, I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to mention it again. The finale of season one of The Great British Baking Show. Christina, I was like, have I gone soft? I have. Who
How many
I?
Lemon tarts were you in at this point?
All of them.
All of them. Okay. So this could be a sugar-induced crying spell.
I think it definitely was. But it was... The thing that really got me is that... I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but in the finale, there's, you know, only a few amateur bakers. These mm-hmm. are amateur, quote-unquote amateur bakers who right. are incredible at what they do, mm-hmm. Who are competing on this show. But they just, you know, without telling me, the editors did this entire montage sort of their lives of each of them. And as we talked about earlier, I just am so moved by stories mm-hmm. and seeing the kind of choices that these people had made and the sacrifices and honestly, the time that they had given themselves to do this passion of theirs, mm-hmm. in addition to everything else, just made the tears flow. So anyway, highly recommended.
Marvelous.
Christina, what was the last thing that made you cry tears of joy?
Oh, I mean, so Stacey Abrams winning the Democratic primary for governor in Georgia,
oh.
right? I mean, between that and Home to Vote, I've had a very, like, emotional couple of weeks on the political front.
Yeah.
She is the first Black woman to be nominated by a major party for governor.
Incredible.
Ever.
Mind-blowing and
incredible. She's also a human Venn diagram. I've met her. I donated to her campaign.
Gosh, I didn't know that.
She wrote romance novels. She's
what?
Like the successful romance novelist while being a state senator in Georgia.
Oh my gosh.
And she's this amazing, multi-talented woman who has decided to answer the call for public service and you know, go after the governorship. And, you know, it's a long shot for a Democrat to win in Georgia. I get it. But I have hopes because she is amazing.
That's so exciting.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a huge fan.
Yes, Stacey Abrams.
Which was also fun because the Democratic primary was the battle of two Stacys. Literally two women
oh,
named
Stacey. Right.
Yes. I was like, yes.
This is...
Midterms 2018. Bringing
that's
me life.
Fantastic. Yes. Stacey versus Stacey. I am so on board.
Right? That's a novel to write.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Kate, question three. Who is one guest you wish we had had on our show / we're gonna try to book when we come back?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm gonna just start this answer with a schmaltzy answer, which is, I mean, we are so lucky to have had the guests that we've had on our show.
Amazing.
You know, it's one thing, you know, for people to say, oh my gosh, you guys have had such great guests. These are guests that have all said yes to coming
right.
on our show.
Right.
And not only have they said yes, they have really just, like, honestly told their stories mm-hmm. and their paths.
And so many of them were like cold emails.
Exactly.
We're just like, you don't know us, but do you want to be on our podcast?
Exactly. It's like, here's who we are, and here are some links if you have time to look at them.
Yeah.
And so I just want to shout out all of our guests who we've had so far. They're mm-hmm. all incredible. If I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out, I'm going to just say Ava DuVernay.
Yes.
Because she is such a fabulous example of someone who had a whole career mm-hmm. before, you know, picking up a camera and making mm-hmm. her first film when she was in her mid-30s. You know, she worked in journalism. She covered the O.J. Simpson trial.
Really?
Yes. And then she had this whole career as a publicist before
wow.
she became a filmmaker. And I just love hearing conversations with her as of late. Obviously, A Wrinkle in Time came out recently, so she's mm-hmm. been kind of doing the press rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But she has just been such a voice of taking down this notion that if you don't do something by a certain time of your life, you're not going to do
right.
it. And I just love that she's doing that. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that and doing our part in continuing to support that.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that.
So yeah. Hey, Ava, come hang out. What about you, Christina?
I mean, I think this should be no surprise to anyone. Vanessa Nadal.
Yes. Yes.
Scientist, lawyer, brilliant human Venn diagram, and, you know, the wife of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Sure.
She just is a baller in so many levels.
Yes.
And I think she would be a great addition to this show. So, Vanessa,
yes.
if you're listening.
Vanessa.
Call us.
Vamnit, we would love to have you on. I think that Vanessa inspired Lynn to turn scientist into a verb.
I think
you were
that's
just
true.
Scientisted, I think he said at one
I
point.
I think so. Amazing.
Yes, please.
So, Kate, what is something that you're looking forward to doing with your Monday nights this summer, since Monday is usually when we record?
You know, I was thinking about that recently, and I was sort of at first, like, doing what I've been doing lately, which is like, oh my gosh, allowing myself to just think about having space there, mm-hmm. you know, like I could really do anything. I mean, The Bachelorette is back on Monday nights. And honestly, as much as I have a sort of love-hate relationship with that show and that franchise, it's such a fun way to hang out with my dear friend Mel, who has this amazing Instagram account called Not So Guilty TV, where she just like live Instagrams the show and throws so much shade at it.
Ooh,
and she always invites me to come along, and I'm never available.
Right,
but I'm looking forward to just some couch time and doing some maybe fun commentary on the show.
Oh my God.
Because we can. Why not?
Why not?
But I'm sure that in the next few weeks I will also come up with something, you know, far more substantial.
Sure. Maybe baking.
Yes. Ooh. Oh my gosh. The possibilities are endless.
They really
and
are.
All of these possibilities are very valuable in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. Christina, what about you?
So I think we've talked about The Wing on the show before.
Yeah. Yes.
So I have been a member of The Wing now for, I don't even know
the
how many months.
The Women's Club that started in
exactly.
New York now is expanding to many cities.
Exactly. So this has been really fun. They have 3 locations in New York. They're adding a 4th soon. They just opened in D.C. They're adding L.A. I'm so excited for you to get to
see
them. San Francisco,
totally.
Chicago. I mean, they're taking over the world.
They really are.
And, you know, during the day, it's this fabulous kind of co-working space equivalent, but also has showers and like blow dryers in case you need to do your hair, which
yes,
I love.
Yes.
But at night, they do this incredible programming, and they've had everyone from like Hillary Clinton to guests that have movies or television shows that are debuting. They did a big thing for Handmaid's Tale debut with Hulu. They have fantastic conversations and really just wonderful programming that I don't get to go to much.
Yes.
Because I'm on the road and doing the show.
Totally.
And so I've decided that Monday nights this summer, I'm going to go to The Wing. I'm going to go see some good programming and learn about like the female spies during the Civil War. Because that's a thing they do.
That is incredible.
Right?
That is incredible.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I am so looking forward to that on your behalf. And I think we all know what our next question is.
I think so.
Which is one last shout out for a woman doing awesome things.
Mm-hmm. So, Kate, who are we shouting out as women doing awesome things?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a couple of women to shout out. Of course, we have so many women to shout
out. I know.
But we want to give a special shout out to Christina Valletta at Forbes. Mm-hmm. And specifically at Women at Forbes, which is such an incredible space of programming. Christina's kind of been our fairy godmother, hasn't she?
She has. She's the one that came to us 2.5 years ago.
Specifically
saying,
came to you, I would say.
Yeah, well, she said, we're trying this thing called podcasts.
Yeah.
Do you want to be part of it? And it was just perfect timing and a perfect opportunity that became this amazing project. And so just huge thanks to Christina and to the Women at Forbes team for taking a chance on us and kind of letting us build this thing.
Oh my gosh. And not blinking an eye when we said we were going to name our show after a Mean Girls reference and a calculus term.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you, Christina Valletta.
Mm-hmm.
You're a goddess, and we are so grateful to have you in our corner.
Absolutely. We also have to give a shout out to New Mama and our matchmaker, Rachel Axler.
Rachel Axler.
Who is the first person to kind of say, hey, you're both weird math theater people. You should know each other.
Totally. 1,000%. Rachel is an incredible human Venn diagram in her own right. She's an amazing musician. And of course, she's an incredible comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
She most recently has written on Veep. Rachel's the kind of person that anything she touches or creates, I want to read, hear, watch.
True.
All of the above. Yes, she is also our Yenta.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, on your first trip out to LA, which I have now learned was your first time in LA.
That's true.
2+ years ago, when you and Rachel and I all got juices, it was really the start of something special.
It was. It really was.
It really was.
And, you know, because it's our last episode for now, we want to give a bonus shout out to Tina Fey for... making Mean Girls, because without
yes,
you,
Tina,
this entire Limit Does Not Exist riff with Katie Heron and the math team would not be. And you know what? I am thrilled that Mean Girls has been turned into a musical.
Yes.
On Broadway. I am going to see it 2 days after this episode airs.
Oh my gosh.
Dragon Chaz.
Oh my gosh.
I am probably going to weep some tears of joy during the Limit Does Not Exist scene on Broadway.
My head is exploding with just the convergence of all of the things.
Of all the things.
Yeah, I really don't think that I've embraced the fact that Tina Fey did pull such an incredible calculus phrase.
Right.
And put it right into a movie. And had she not done that, you're right, we might have glossed it over in calculus textbooks as we were searching for the title of the show.
True story.
Thank you, Tina Fey.
I know. It is hard to end this.
I know. So you know what? I think we should just keep talking. And Steve, do you just want to do a slow fade out?
I mean, it's probably the most appropriate way for us to go. Huge thanks to Podcast One and to Steve, our amazing producer, for sticking by us all these episodes. And with that, I'll catch you next time.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Our music is by Broke for Free and C-Doc.
As always, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you like what you've heard.
And check out our show notes for everything we've mentioned in this episode pinned to the top of our Twitter page at Admiral Hopper. FYI, that's also our Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm. And you can always find show notes from all of our episodes and so much more on our website at humanvendiagram.com.
Until then, remember,
the limit does not exist.
Woo-hoo! Download new episodes of The Limit Does Not Exist every Monday at podcastone.com, Forbes.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.